We are living in prophetic times. And like I said just now, there are so many prophecies that are being fulfilled, especially in our generation and in the generation to come as we step into the millennium. Because after the rapture, 7 years is very short. Then it'll be the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. There are more prophecies about this time period than all the prophecies of the first coming of Jesus. Wow, think about that. And the Bible says with God, there'll be mockers in the last days that will say this. In 2 Peter, the Bible says clearly, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So the Bible tells us clearly that it sounds like that there is a delay. It feels like there's a delay. The Lord is not coming as soon as they expected. And then there are mockers around the believers, even in that day, saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Where is the coming of the Lord? Our fathers fell asleep, which means our fathers are dead and gone. And the Lord has still not come. So likewise, it's a prophecy of our days. Our days when there are mockers saying, the rapture, where is the rapture? Where is the coming of the Lord? They make fun of the coming of the Lord. And there are even believers who don't believe in the rapture anymore. I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word used in the Bible is harpazo, which is a ceasing away. The idea is the same, just like Trinity, the triune God. That word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the whole reality is. Amen? So let's not split hairs over terms. Praise God. The harpazo, the great catching away of the church, if you would. Amen. It's a reality. Paul preached on it, and it's anytime it can happen, praise the Lord. We are looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Bible says these people, they are scoffing, but let's drop down and see what the Holy Spirit says to us. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Now the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Why it seems like the Lord is delaying his coming? Why? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of his coming, that is, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, he's patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, say all should come to repentance. God's heart is that God is not willing that any should perish. And yet we know, reading the book of Revelation, there are people who perish in the lake of fire. We see that. But God's heart, see God's heart, people. His heart is not willing that any should perish. And perhaps, listen carefully, not perhaps, it is. God is delaying his coming so that more and more people can be saved. So he's delaying his coming so that more and more people will get to hear the gospel of grace and be saved. Hallelujah. So with the Lord, one day, 1,000 years is like one day, and one day like 1,000 years. And this is very interesting because in the gospel of John, is known as the book of signs. Some people say there are 7 signs. Some say 8 signs. Okay, but give and take, there are 8 signs. And unless you consider the resurrected, after Jesus was resurrected, the miraculous catch of fish is a sign, which I believe it is, then it's 8 signs. But the 7th one is actually the one I want you to look at. The Bible says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. Wow, what an opening, isn't it? Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In other words, we know that there's a special love that the Lord has for this family. He loved the brother Lazarus was dying at that time, and Martha and Mary. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed two more days in the place where he was. Isn't it interesting? Like he just heard that Lazarus was dying. Lazarus was sick to the point of dying. And what did Jesus do? First of all, the Holy Spirit tells us Jesus loved Martha and the sister Mary and Lazarus. And then he says, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. So friend, there's no insignificant details in the Bible. He didn't stay because he had, you know, something against them, okay? No, on the contrary. It's because he loved them. That's what the Bible purposely, the Holy Spirit made us know that Jesus loved this family in a special way. Yet, he stayed 2 more days. There's something that's beyond the natural that God wants us to see. And this family represents all the church world, okay, all those that he loved in a special way. God so loved the world. Listen, God loves the sinner in the street, even the one that's profaning his name, blaspheming his name overtly. He loves him, but it's a different kind of love with the way he loves us. The way Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, that's how Jesus loves us, his church. The believers are loved in a special way. Amen. And it's for us to believe in that love. So it's greater than the love that he has for the world. Amen. And yet, we have to learn why he's delaying his coming for 2 days. Just like they had to learn, why did he delay? If he loved us so much, why did he delay his coming? Because he's going to show us a greater glory, the glory of God. He wants us to see the glory of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go on, you find that by the time Jesus says, let us go to Judea, Lazarus had died. And then Jesus made his way, and let's follow him now to the scene where the sisters met him. First of all, Martha met him. Jesus said to her, to Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, the first part, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This refers to people who have died. He says, though he may die. Notice, he says, though he may die, because not all will die. The rapture generation will not die. So those who have died, though he may die, yet he shall live. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. The next category are those who, we talk about the rapture generation, that will not die. These are the ones he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's the generation that we are. Amen. The second part of what he said. And he asked Martha, do you believe this? And of course, Martha says, yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God that shall come into the world. Now, if you drop down to Jesus before the tomb, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3 and look carefully at this word. Ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. This word stones is the Greek word lithos. Lithos. Now, it is not every word for stone is lithos, friend. In fact, the Greek is a very expressive language, and it has more, like the word love, it has many words for love, different kinds of love. Specifically about different kinds of love. But even the word stone, it is very specific. There's lithos, there is kephas, where they took the word from the Aramaic, which means rock. And then there's a petra, which is a huge boulder, a massive rock. Okay. And then there's petros, which is the name of Peter. Petros is a chip of the block. Amen. A smaller rock from the boulder. So all these are different words for stone. But guess what? This word, written, ministry of death, the law written and engraved on stones is lithos. You know where else you find lithos? And the Holy Spirit is very careful about using lithos. Amen, the stones. It is actually, this one is in the story of Lazarus, because don't forget, the Gospel of John is all about signs, and God wants us to see more than the event itself, what it is pointing to. It was a cave and a stone, lithos, lay against it. So here you have a stone, which is the Holy Spirit chose the word lithos to associate us with this. What is blocking Jesus' miracle in a sense in these last days? After 2 days, he has come. After 2 days, he has come on the scene of death. Okay? And there's something separating all those who are mourning with the one who has died, the loved one who has died. Death has set in. Now even 4 days has passed, as the sister Martha said in a while. She will say that in a while. By this time, she says, he stinketh, because he's been dead 4 days already. Okay? But there was a huge stone, a lithos, standing in the way. In these last days, I believe that God wants that stone rolled away. This is exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah. Friend, as long as the stone is in front of you, as long as the stone is not rolled away from the church cannot see the glory of God. In fact, we read just now in 2 Corinthians 3, if the ministry of condemnation had some glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Think about it. It's all about a glory that is fading away of the law and a glory of the new covenant righteousness, which ever increaseth from glory to glory. And that's how that chapter ends. We are transformed into his image from glory to glory. But you cannot see the glory of God until the law has been rolled away from your life. As long as you are living conscious of the law, as long you are living condemned by the law, as long you are living, amen, preaching and sharing with people about the law, as long as you are putting the stone with grace, friend, a mixture, putting new wine, grace into the old wineskin, the law, all right, you will lose both. The first thing Jesus says, before you see the miracle and before you see the glory of God in your life, in your family, in your children's lives, amen, in all your relationships, before you see the glory of God in your life, you got to roll away the stone. Notice here, he did not roll away the stone himself. He tells them, the ministry is given to us. Roll away the stone. Amen. Now, the stone was necessary in its time. When the dead was put inside the place of death, the tomb, you have to roll the stone there to keep corruption inside. But it gives a false image, outside, because outside you don't see the death. So you know what? The law is given to men who are dying. They're dead. And they are dying. Every day they are dying. And they have no strength to keep the law because they are dying. Amen. Ever since the first Adam sin, death came in. But praise be to God, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing he says, before we see the glory of God, before we see the resurrection, before we see the dead come to life, before we see our loved ones again, no more in corruption, no more in decay, no more having that stench. We see them glorious, beautiful, alive, radiant, healthy again. Before we see all that, we got to roll away the stone. Hi. I hope you were blessed and encouraged by this video. If you were impacted by this message, let us know by liking it and leaving a comment below. Lastly, feel free to subscribe to get more inspirational content every week. See you again real soon. God bless you.